Well, greetings and welcome, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are on the air, we're online, and streaming live video to both Facebook, and YouTube. And today we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on top of page 112. So if you have your copy, go ahead and turn there now, page 112, because it is indeed our Friday study edition. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The moment of salvation. You know, guys, I don't think we spend enough time as believers really analyzing that moment of salvation. Yeah. Most of us say, yeah, that's when I said a prayer. That's when I walked an aisle. That's when Jesus became real to me. And then we just move on and we want to grow and get into deeper things. But we never really stop and ask the question, what did God do at that moment of salvation? And I think that is so vitally important, and it really sets the table for our growth in Christ when we really discover what God has done for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. What happened at that moment of salvation? I think we're really prepared to start growing in the Lord and growing in our knowledge of who He is. So what did happen? And we're just going to take a brief little look today. And at that moment, you were made alive together with Christ. You crossed over from death to life. But then God joined your human spirit to His Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So there was a union that was formed. Christ is now in you. You are now in Christ. This is the point where eternal life started in you. This is the point where the knowledge of God began to grow inside of you, when Christ came to live in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. That is so vitally important for us to understand. Without that information, without realizing that Christ is alive living in us, that we have the Spirit of God revealing to us all the things of the Lord Jesus, then we're left to figure out God on our own understanding.
Yes.
But we have a teacher with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And that's important for us to know, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. And you're right. Even those of us who contemplate this don't contemplate it enough.
Yes.
I mean, how many times do I get off in the weeds somewhere because I'm trying to do something on my own, and if I just stop and say, what happened when I got saved? Jesus came to live in me.
Yes.
Forgiveness happened to me. Life became real. That causes your thinking to change. And until you spend that time thinking about that, I mean, very God, this is the God of the universe, the God who spoke things into existence is speaking me into existence from the inside. How is that possible? You know, how do I not turn to ash and disappear? But I don't. I'm actually alive for the first time.
Right, because of the grace of God.
Yes.
So this union has formed, a fusion between your spirit, God's Holy Spirit, and that fusion happened so that you could grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's what eternal life is. Eternal life, as Jesus defined it, is simply this, that you know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, whom God sent. So that's what eternal life is. That is the quality of life that you're now engaged in, and it started the moment of your salvation. So many theologians have said throughout church history that the reason we have such poor discipleship in the church is because we have such poor evangelism.
Yes.
We're just trying to get people to say a prayer instead of really understanding this new life that they've been given in Christ Jesus. So this moment of salvation is when God started revealing to you knowledge about Himself. You started to really know what God is like, who God really is. You started to know that He is love. You started to know His grace, His forgiveness, and His mercy. But you know, we're finite human beings, and we can't take in everything about God right at first. So there's a progression. That's why Peter said to grow in the grace of God and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a progression that takes place. Yeah. So God reveals to us at the appropriate time, the proper time, what we can understand and take in at that moment. Mm-hmm. So if you're a new believer, there's some things that God is going to reveal to you. If you've been in the faith for a while, there's other things that are that God is going to reveal to you. If you've been in the faith a long time, you're really going to grow really, you know, in exponential ways in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. And one of the best passages in the Word of God that really sketches out this progression is in 1 John chapter 2. And here in this particular passage, John speaks to little children, he speaks to young men, and he speaks to fathers. And I think as we go through this passage today, we're going to see how we grow in Christ. And it's a marvelous progression, and I just love the way John put this together. So with anything, he starts at the very beginning. He starts with little children. So in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12, and actually it's verse 13, we see two things, and I'll just read it. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Then he says, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. So that's specific to children. So he gives us two things. So what does God the Father want new believers to know about him according to these two verses?
First, that we have been forgiven on account of Jesus' name. And second, just like we've been talking about, eternal life is knowing God the Father and Jesus the Son.
Right.
Those two things.
Yes.
Nothing better.
Right. So I know as a young believer, I wanted to know anything and everything I could about God, but I really wasn't prepared to receive it. Mm-hmm. I had my own struggles, my own battles. I didn't even know how the Christian life was supposed to work. So here I was expecting things, and God was trying to show me some things, and I was just on a completely different page. And so for many, many years, I struggled with this forgiveness issue. Every time I sinned, I cried out, I pleaded for God to forgive me again, but I never really knew that my sins had been forgiven. It took me almost 8 years to come to that point, come to that knowledge that God loved me so much that he took away not some of my sins, but all of them, and that as a result, I stood before him as a forgiven person. So if you're out there struggling in your Christian life with fear, guilt, and shame, it's probably because this knowledge of God hasn't really clicked on in your understanding. So if that's where you are, let God reveal this to you, because that's what he wants you to know right now, that your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. It's not a ongoing process that every time you sin, you're able to get more forgiveness. This is a once and done thing.
Yeah.
Notice the tense of this, that it's past tense, that your sins have been in the past forgiven on account of the name of Jesus. That's a powerful truth, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it is so foundational. It's impossible to grow apart from knowing that. I mean, Peter tells us that in his letter. You know, here's all these things we want you to do, but if you find that you can't do this stuff, well, it's because you've not understood that you're a forgiven person. It all starts right there.
Right. And you know, the book of Hebrews talks about the curtain being torn from top to bottom, the way into God's presence being now available to all who believe. It says boldly go into that throne of grace. You'll never go in there if you don't know that your sins have been forgiven. If you think that punishment is around the corner for you, you're not going to draw near to God. You're going to run away from God. So this is the very foundational truth that we build this relationship with God upon. If you know that your sins have been forgiven, that puts you in the disposition to receive more information,
yes,
more knowledge, and grow in your relationship with Christ. So today, if you're struggling with this, will you settle the issue? Will you say, along with John, that your sins have been forgiven? That's what you receive the moment of your salvation. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know it. So come to that point, rest in the finished work of Jesus, and say it is finished once and for all. And when you know it's finished, your heart is going to overflow with gratitude. And that is going to open up the floodgates of this knowledge of God pouring yes. in to your life.
Absolutely.
It's that important.
Yeah. Well, our study is from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we're really glad that you're with us today. We are nearing the end of this study. Don't think we'll make it quite today, but pretty close to the end. And if you have joined us in progress or have missed any of the sessions, we hope you'll take advantage of the complete audio archive of these Friday broadcasts. At basicgospel.net, just click the radio drop-down menu and then select Teaching Edition. There you'll find the full archive, and there you can also order a copy of the study guide and the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We encourage you to do that because it's an excellent opportunity to immerse yourself in God's grace in Jesus Christ through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. The second thing that John writes to children is that they know the Father. And what that means, I believe, is that they know they belong to the family of God, that they're members of the family of God. You know, when I was a kid, my first grade teacher asked me, what was my father like and what does my father do? And I said, well, he sleeps all day. Yeah. And that was my limited knowledge as a five-year-old kid. I didn't know about Dad's character. I didn't know all the things that motivated him, that compelled him in his life. But as I grew older, as I gained more information, I started to find out about my dad. And if you had asked me 10 years later, what does my dad do and what is he like? I would have told a completely different story. But back then, I knew he was my father. I knew I belonged to him. And that's what I needed to know. And as a new believer in Christ, you need to know that you're part of the family, that you can call God, this God who spoke the universe into existence, the God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, you can call him Daddy. That's what he wants you to know. He wants you to know that your sins have been forgiven. He wants you to know that you belong to the family of God. There's a wonderful passage in Galatians 4:6, and Richard, would you read that to us? I love how Paul puts this in this particular verse.
Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father.
Okay. So we go back to that moment of salvation. Christ has come to live in us. So you out there listening, Christ has come to live in you through the Holy Spirit. He has joined himself with your human spirit. There was a union that took place right then and there, a fusion of the two. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit communicate to your human spirit? This very truth.
Yes.
God's Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. He wants you to know that you belong, that you're a part of the family of God. And that's something that we struggle with. So many people, when they sin, they start to question, did my faith take? Was I sincere enough?
Yeah.
You know, did God accept my belief? Did he toss me out? Well, all of those questions.
Even if he did, he's probably disowned me now.
Right, right. So what does the Spirit do? It cuts through all of those, you know, accusatory thoughts, all of those doubts, all of those fears, and speaks truth.
Yeah.
You belong, and I'm going to move your human spirit to cry out, Daddy, Father. If the Holy Spirit wasn't living in you, you wouldn't have that sense. That wouldn't be a part of who you are. But because the Spirit is there, you know you belong because that's the Spirit's job to make that known to you. It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it is. The fact that God doesn't ask us, has never asked us to say, please forgive me. Instead, he has said to us, I have forgiven you, now let's talk. That is radically different than what most of us were taught.
Yeah.
Yes. I struggled most of my life to appease him enough so that he would deign come down off of his throne and maybe say my name. That was enough.
Yes.
You know, instead, he was calling me the whole time, trying to communicate to me that he had forgiven me, and all he wanted to do was know me. And
right.
If I would accept that, this whole thing would start
right
the right way instead of being just cut short before you even got started.
Absolutely. So let's take some practical questions. So if you're a brand new believer, based on what we've just said, what does God want you to know?
That you're forgiven and that he knows you and you know him.
That's right. You belong to the family of God. You're in. And God has made it so. Now let's take another question. If you're in ministry and you're working with young believers, what does this passage tell you to focus on? What does it encourage you to build in new believers?
Do you want the right answer or the answer that's normally given?
We want the right answer based on the Word of God.
Rest in the fact that you are a forgiven person and that you are a member of the family.
Right, right. You cannot spend too much time on this issue. You know, many folks think, oh, they know they're forgiven. We're just going to gloss over it. We're going to pass over. We may give a mention. Just a cursory mention of the fact that their sins have been forgiven, but we're going to move on. We're going
to
move on
and
take them into deeper truths. Don't do that. Stick with a person until they are resting in the finished work of Christ.
Yeah.
That is so vitally important. Stick with a person until they know that they have assurance of salvation, that they truly belong to the family of God. If you don't, 2 years from this point, 5 years, 10 years down the road, these questions, these doubts, these fears, these concerns will start haunting those believers. Why? Yeah. Because they never settled them. So help them settle these two issues right now as best you can. Teach them the truth that God has forgiven their sins. Teach them the truth that they belong, and nothing, no one, no power can snatch them out of the hands of God the Father, nor can they snatch them out of Jesus' hands.
Correct.
If you will do that, you will start seeing believers blossom and grow and become productive, life-giving, love-giving members of the body of Christ. So please do not overlook this important ministry into young believers' lives. If you are ministering to a group who seem to be seasoned, before you get into, quote, deeper things, just test the waters and see where people are as far as their understanding of total forgiveness is concerned and their understanding of eternal security.
Yeah.
That's where you need to start. It's that important. The next thing he does is he talks to young men. And, you know, this is a vital part of growing. Young men, you know, just think of teenagers. Just think of kids in high school and kids in college and all the things that they wrestle with, all the temptations that they're starting to get exposed to and trying to figure out how to overcome those. Well, they need some knowledge. They need some understanding. They need some wisdom. And so God wants to reveal the right knowledge about himself to help young men through that process, to build them, to strengthen them, to make them strong in the Lord. And John writes about that, doesn't he? So what does he say to young men in 1 John 2:13 and 14?
I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one.
Okay. So, you know, we come to Christ. We're new believers. There's an excitement there. We pray for parking spots and one opens
and open up.
And, you know, we get all of these things. But that's not real life. That's just, yeah. You know, at that stage of our growth in Christ, God is just revealing to us that we really do belong. That's all a part of what God does to really solidify the fact that we're forgiven, that we're in the family of God. Yeah. Those are those little things. But once we know that, we all of a sudden start experiencing this conflict again within. And these temptations and these things of the world start knocking on our door, and we're starting to wonder, how are we going to overcome this? And we try on our own. Yeah. We give it our best college shot, and, you know, we fall flat on our faces. And then we have to figure out, wait a minute, that's not working. So how am I going to become strong and be able to withstand the onslaught of the things of the world, the temptations of sin, even Satan's accusations? How can I stand strong? And that's what John is talking about here. So what knowledge of God does he give us to help us stand and overcome these temptations of life?
Well, according to this passage, the Word of God abides in you. So something has happened in the way you study the Bible that has transformed the Bible from a collection of interesting stories at best to life itself. And the Spirit begins to explain that stuff, to reveal the meaning of that stuff. And it actually does, based on the Spirit's work, not mine, it does enable us to overcome the evil one. Because now we've got that flesh and spirit thing going, we can choose the Spirit.
Right. This is part of the grace of God teaching us to say no, yeah, to ungodliness and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. That's a young man thing.
Yeah,
and we need to know that. And so this knowledge of God that he reveals to us moves us down that path. It gives us strength in the Word of God. In other words, when temptations hit us, we're no longer relying on our own human effort. We're no longer relying on worldly wisdom. We're turning to the Word of God. We're turning to Jesus Christ himself. So when Jesus was tempted, he stood on the Word of God, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Satan twisted truth, tried to lure Jesus to bow down and worship him and to do all of these things. And every time he did, Jesus responded with the Word of God. Now, this same Jesus is alive, living in us, and he's going to move us to take our stand on the Word of God. That is what gives us strength. We're never strong in and of ourselves. We're strong in the Word. We're strong in the Lord. And so Jesus proves himself. We learn as young men that Jesus is more powerful than sin. He's more powerful than temptation. And that as we rely on him, we can genuinely and truly say no to sin and yes to Jesus.
Yes.
That's good news, isn't it?
Sure is.
So we didn't cover much today.
Yeah, we did.
Well, we did cover a lot. We covered how God reveals himself to young children. You're forgiven. You belong. How God reveals himself to young men, that the Word of God is powerful and active. We just need to abide in it, to trust in it. And as we do, we'll see that it is sufficient for every need in life, for every circumstance in life. And so as we grow in our knowledge of Christ, we become strong in the Word. Next week, we'll pick up with fathers.
Yes, indeed. Good stuff, guys. Thank you. And thanks for joining us, everybody, for the study through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You can find the complete audio archive of these Friday editions under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, radio drop-down, teaching edition. And to all of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts, thank you. Because of your support, we at Basic Gospel can take the good news to those who are searching, who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. And as you give through Basic Gospel, just keep in mind, we always want you to know this, that when you give, someone's life is touched, and that's the bottom line. We hope you can help with a gift today. Just click the prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we have a special gift for you as our way of saying thank you for your partnership. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this week at Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again on Monday for another live edition after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.